Lake Effect continues here on WUWM. I'm Audrey Nowakowski. As we embark on this next decade, we reflect on the major events of the last 10 years. And one topic that's always on people's minds is food, and more specifically, food trends. Whether you are reevaluating your relationship with food or are determined to try the latest keto or paleo diets, one thing we can count on is a grocery store to fill our changing food needs. The Outpost Natural Foods Co-op has been in Milwaukee for the past 50 years, and it has definitely seen and survived its fair share of food and grocery trends. Whether it's the rise of the chickpea, the rise of yogurt options, seltzers, avocado toast, or plant-based eating, they've seen it all. But what food trends are swaying our appetites as we move into 2020? To find out, I'm joined by Pam Maynard, the general manager of Outpost, and Lisa Malmorowski, its director of brand and store development. Pam and Lisa, welcome to Lake Effect.
Thanks. It's great to be here.
We're happy to be here.
So Outpost, of course, has been around for 50 years and has been a Milwaukee staple. But when do you think pop culture and the masses really started to seek out organic food widely and in earnest?
Widely and in earnest. Well, I've been working at the co-op for 39 years, so I've seen different waves of people coming through, different trends happening at the same time. The 80s were certainly big for people to discover natural and organic foods, since a lot of tests were being done on pesticides in food and things like that. So that was great, but we were really still a niche business back then. At that time, I'd say 2010, 2008, right after the recession, there seemed to be a new wave of people's interest in natural and organic. We saw a lot of the supermarkets picking up some of the same products that we were selling. And it's now a mainstay. It's not a niche market anymore. It's definitely something that people seek out.
Right. And do you feel that you're in a position of strength when you're the one setting the precedence before the supermarkets start picking up on, this is sourced from this farmer, here's these organic products and things of the like?
I think so. It's always been that way for us, just in terms of the knowledge base that we have at the co-op and the fact that we're dealing with things on such a smaller scale than everyone else, that we can say, oh, you know, here's a local product. It comes from TP Produce. We know Steve, who grew it. You know, he got his degree in agriculture at UW-Madison. And I mean, there's a connection, a people connection, when you think about products from an independent grocer, a smaller grocer like us. So I think that is one of the differences. You know, there's mass market natural foods. There's products grown all over the world. And our niche in the summertime, for sure, is local.
I imagine you have to adapt to the seasons just like any farmer or seller of the produce, because you need to monopolize on what's fresh right now,
right,
and not rely on things coming from California, say, or anywhere else.
Yeah, I think back in the day we did a little bit more of the sourcing in season than today, because things are grown in so many different places that you're able to get asparagus almost year-round, where back in the day it was definitely we would source local asparagus when asparagus came in Wisconsin, and that's what you would find at Outpost versus, you know, places, South America or other places at the regular grocery store.
Now, the whole image of eating organic, I think, has moved beyond people just eating plants all the time. And plants are being used in so many different ways compared to when Outpost first started or when this first trend started happening in the 80s, as you mentioned. So let's go over some current food trends. And do you think it's something you've needed to adapt to, or things that you were just easily able to set up? Like, for example, plants. More people are choosing plants versus having a more vegetarian-based diet, or just looking for meat alternatives or even dairy alternatives.
Right. I think that for us, we've always been in the position of having a lot of those products. Lucky for us. What's been really great is to be on the receiving end of having much more variety on our shelves than we were ever able to source before. It's become much easier for us to find these products and then offer them to our customers. We've always been the place people come to first when they're wanting to try out something new, or their kid comes home from college and says, "Hey, Mom, I'm vegetarian." And Mom comes to the grocery store and says, "I don't know what to feed them." So we've been that place where people go, and we still find that we are that place where people come to find the newest food trends or plant-based foods in this case. It's definitely been an ongoing trend for us, but we've seen it honestly explode the last couple of years, and this year it's poised to really be big.
So what other things regarding plants? Like I'm thinking Brussels sprouts are becoming really popular again. They're losing their boiled cabbage image.
Very much so.
They're in restaurants all the time as an appetizer, like either seared or fried or anything like that.
Oh, definitely. We like to say that Brussels sprouts this year are the new kale.
Mm.
And
mm-hmm.
kale hasn't went away. Kale kind of opened the door to the whole world of cruciferous, which a lot of people are like, what's that? It's all the cabbages, all the things that I think have that kind of humble and homely kind of reputation, but people are finding that they're really adaptable. They either have their great own sweet, nutty flavor, or they are good a way to masquerade and be in place of carbs. Like another trend we see is cauliflower. And that, too, is eat it on its own. It's great. It's tasty. But it can also pretend to be rice, or it can be, not pretend, sit in for rice. And it can also be a pizza crust. You know, so those vegetables have really stepped up in people's minds.
Well, and along those lines, oats are being used for so many things. There's oat milk now, that especially this last year has come out, where to the point coffee stores have it as a milk substitute. So what other kinds of ingredients within that family are being used as substitution products versus I need bulk oats just for cooking or, you know, things like that?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, oats are interesting in that they can become a milk, like you mentioned, but they can also become an ingredient in food to add more protein or more texture and things like that. They're really sustainable, too, and I think that's where all of this kind of comes together is a lot of people have been drinking almond milk that uses a lot of water in places that are short on water. Oats are a great substitute for that. Other things coming to the forefront in similar ways are pea proteins and bean proteins, not like soybeans, where a lot of us are familiar with that, but really like pea protein in things like ice cream to make a vegan ice cream. It doesn't taste like peas or beans. It there's fat in them, there's protein, and it can just masquerade as a dairy product. We're seeing a lot more of that. We're seeing it in crunchy snacks and in burgers and things like that too.
Now, I imagine operating with your store kind of puts you in a unique position. So we're talking about almond milk, all the dairy substitute. Yet, of course, Wisconsin is in the midst of a dairy farming crisis. And having suppliers that are typically Wisconsin-owned, smaller-scale dairy farmers, how do you balance this? You know, how do you decide, not necessarily decide what to have, but in a world where all these dairy alternatives are being promoted, not necessarily in your store, but just mass media, versus the Wisconsin dairy crisis that we're facing now?
I think it is a matter of balance. I mean, just because something's a trend, it may mean some people try it out and it's not for them. And whereas other people may have a stronger connection to dairy from their childhood. They don't have a problem with dairy. Some people do have a problem digesting it. And there's, I mean, delicious foods coming from Wisconsin, whether it's the cheese industry or whether it's the milk industry and some of the smaller scale milk producers are, you know, doing ice cream, Purple Door in town, and, you know, Sassy Cow is really good at things like that. So we try to promote all of it, because one particular diet, maybe back in the 70s and 80s, was great. We, you know, only sold vegetarian back at that time. And now we're trying to meet people where they're at. So we're trying to really fill all the different needs that people might have in a diet. And we've got great products coming out of Wisconsin. I'd hate to be in a place where we're selling more of dairy products from another state than we are from our own state, because our vision really is to support the local farmers and maintain that.
Another thing that a lot of grocery stores in general have had to compete with is the rise of food delivery services. There's meal kits, you know, taking all the work out of your typical grocery experience of going, having a list, making your ingredients, meal planning for yourself. So how have you tried to remain competitive in that additional market?
Well, that's a fun question. We've actually, last year, probably around this time, introduced our own meal kit. We have an Outpost meal kit, three different varieties that typically feature some value-added meat products that we make in our meat departments in our stores. So we found that, you know, more and more of those kits are becoming more popular. People want ideas on how to cook and how to prepare. We also joined Instacart. So Outpost has a site on the Instacart web page for food delivery, and we see more and more shoppers in our stores with the little Instacart jackets on that, you know, are shopping for other folks. You know, consumers want convenience, and convenience isn't always convenient, but it's definitely the trend of where people are going. So,
do you find it disappointing that that's the trend?
At times, right? Why is everything so rushed and so fast, and no one has time for anything? No one has time for cooking anymore. It's
well, especially you consider Outpost a place where people are coming to. Who already have a greater appreciation of their food.
Right.
Who are taking these extra steps to go there. You know.
I guess I think about the time that, you know, in the past when we did cooking classes and we introduced new generations to here's how you use these products. And I see that coming back again. I see that as something that will have a place in the market. It's easy for us to do. We've got experts on staff. It's kind of a natural thing for us to say, here, let us help you figure that out, because it doesn't, some things don't take a lot of time. Crockpot meals, for example, you can start your crockpot when you leave for work in the morning. And if you have one on a timer, it's ready to eat when you come home. You don't have to make that adjustment to say, I've got to pick something up that somebody else has already made, you know, the carry out foods that we, of course, sell as well. So,
I think one of the big challenges as a retailer of any size is that people want a lot of options. The same person today who may use a meal delivery service or a meal kit tomorrow wants to make a home-cooked meal or a gourmet meal with their friends. And that's the challenge, I think, for any retailer, and especially small retailers, to meet that need. But we're also positioned to meet that need because we can react quickly and do smaller bits of it and be more personal with it.
And of course, you need to keep consumer wants and needs in mind. And one thing that is certainly picking up trends is the use of plastic, of packaging. Businesses are daily impact on climate change. So how has that affected what you need to do when it comes to your image or your goals as a store? First, when it comes to adapting to how climate change is affecting your food supply and the farmers, to how you are presenting and packaging your foods in store.
We have a committee called the Plastic Purge Committee, not very glamorous, but it's a cross-functional team, and we are looking at the plastics that we use as an organization, at the same time challenging some of our distributors or suppliers to do better. But, you know, we got to start at home. 2023, we want to eliminate our use of single-use plastics in our production, petroleum-based plastics specifically. And you would think it's easy. We get a lot of questions from customers and the public at large expecting us to have already done that. But it's really hard, like we talked about, balancing that need for convenience and that drive and that want from our customers with something that is environmentally sustainable. And that's what we're working on right now. We've made, you know, a lot of friends and a few people unhappy by changing out our produce bags to compostable bags. They don't act the same way as plastic. They're made from a plant-based material. They degrade quickly if you leave them in your refrigerator. And that's been a learning curve. So we're trying to take people along on this journey, and it's a challenge to walk that line between being super customer-friendly and meeting people where they're at and yet trying to take them a little bit farther and say, we're in this for the long haul, and we see that what's happening with our environment, and you can be part of the solution along with us.
This really started as an awareness for us as an organization to see what we were doing and the impact that we were making on our planet. And we set part of our sustainability mission changed 2 years ago to really focus on climate, really focus on the things that we're doing now that impact the climate negatively, like add more to the atmosphere or add more to the landfill. And that's really where we're working towards, is lowering that impact, lowering our footprint, because it is something that is changing. I mean, we can see it. We, you know, we're not climatologists, but we can definitely see the impact to some of our farmers when for three springs in a row, they can't get plants into the field because of severe flooding. You know, breaking the 100-year floodplain year one, year two, year three with new records, or the early frost that kills off the apple crop, or, you know, any of those damaging types of events are more regular. And so with that regularity, we believe as a good corporate citizen, we need to take action.
Pam Maynard is the general manager of Outpost Natural Foods Co-op, and Lisa Malmorowski is its director of brand and store development.